So I've entitled this thing The Fifth Room. And what I want to say about it is most of us are all here tonight for a very similar reason. That is, our life path has not been working for us as we have been choosing to do, and that's with the best choices we have known to make. In other words, we're wanting to do our best, we're trying to do our best, and we're making choices that still don't work very well. So we are looking for a more spiritually loving way to make those choices and find our way back, as we find our way back to God, whatever God means for each of us. And I think we're pretty much on the same page about that in this course. So what I want you to do, and we may get it done early. If he doesn't show up on time, we may just leave early. And there's only because there's only four of us. So what I want you to do is go to lesson 24, page 59 in the workbook. And Deborah, a minute or two, and it looks like everybody's there. Would you read paragraph one?
Okay. I don't have my book today, so.
Okay, well, then
I'm going to listen.
Okay. Ms. Clace, Jacqueline, would you read paragraph one?
So lesson 24 is the I do not perceive my own best interest?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Because I have a different page. Okay.
Oh.
I do not perceive, am I?
Yeah, you're on. You're not.
Okay. Okay. I do not perceive my own best interest. In no situation that arises do you realize the outcome that would make you happy. Therefore, you have no guide to appropriate action and no way of judging the result. What you do is determined by your perception of the situation, and that perception is wrong. It is inevitable, then, that you will not serve your own best interest. Yet they are your only goal in any situation which is correctly perceived. Otherwise, you will not recognize what they are.
Thank you. And Ross, would you read paragraph two, please?
Okay. If you realized that you do not perceive your own best interests, you could be taught what they are. But in the presence of your conviction that you do know what they are, you cannot learn. The idea for today is a step toward opening your mind so that learning can begin.
Thank you. And now what I want you to do is all of you move to paragraph five, and we're going to do the little italics in the middle. So I want you to spend 3 minutes thinking about a situation that you might not know, that's not going right for you right now, and that you want to figure out what would go best for you right now in that situation. So just close your eyes and take about 3 minutes to fill out the blanks for yourself. Okay. Now that you've got your goals in mind for that situation, are you ready, Ross?
Sure.
Okay. Now that you've got your goals and your preferences and mind for that, what I would like you to do is take one more minute and decide how you made those choices. How did you come to those preferential choices? What was your process in finding the answer to that? Just about a minute. Or maybe a half. You open your eyes, I'll know you already know.
Luann, could you read what was in the italics? Because I don't have a book.
I'm so sorry. I wish you'd asked me sooner. In the situation, I'll call you last so you have a little time to think about it.
Okay.
In a situation involving whatever, I would like something to happen and something else to happen. So, Jacqueline, you want to go first? And I'll give you a minute to, a little bit of time to figure out, do you know how you got there? And Ross, do you know how you got there?
No, I just picked a trip to Yosemite because I had five people that I had scheduled to go. and we're trying a backup plan, and I'm still a little confused by the whole thing. So
it's a situation. That's a situation.
Yeah.
So you'd like it to proceed how? And don't tell me, because I don't really want to know. What I want to know, though, is when you get an answer to that, you talk about your answer, how you got to what you would like out of this situation. Okay? Okay. So, Jacqueline, do you want to go first?
I would like to go first, but I thought maybe I would read for Deborah the instructions just before the italics. Is that okay? And help her know what to understand it, what we're doing.
If you think that would help, yes.
It's okay. So, Deborah, I was reading this, and it helped me. In applying the idea for today, name each situation that occurs to you, and then enumerate carefully as many goals as possible that you would like to be met in its resolution. The form of each application should be roughly as follows, and then it says, in the situation involving whatever, I would like such and such to happen, and such to happen, and it could be more than a couple of things to happen.
Except, yes, but I only want one situation.
Oh, yes, but the different things you want from the situation, there can be more.
Right. Your goals for each situation, what you would like.
Mm-hmm. So you're wanting me to...
I want you to tell me how you got to the goals based on a situation you picked.
Well, because it's been challenging for me, and my ego, my personality has so many, you know, the guilt and the judgment involved. It's something that's been going on for a long time with the friendship. I have a real desire to have all of that fall away. No blame, no guilt. And to really come, my goal is for it to be, the outcome to be a loving, peaceful win outcome for each person, for all of us.
And you got there by remembering how it is now. Correct me if I'm wrong. Remembering how it is now and say, I don't want this anymore.
Yes, I mean, I'm just starting to resolve something. And I'm wanting through Course in Miracles to do it in this wonderful way of doing it, and with a lot of love. I really want it to be a loving resolution.
Well, you mentioned A Course in Miracles, how to do it in A Course in Miracles. What does that mean to you?
Well, first of all, I have to undo the personality, ego, guilt, and blame, really noticing that and allowing that to fall away. Call on the Holy Spirit. Last night I was in Wednesday, and it really, there was a whole thing about calling on the Holy Spirit, releasing it to the Holy Spirit, and have the out. My goal is, first of all, that what I would like to happen for myself happens, and that whatever happens, that it's what each person wants. We all have the outcome, a win-win-win, you know, type of situation. I really believe that's possible.
Okay. Okay, and is anybody else ready now? Isadora, we're taking a situation that we would like off of lesson 24 and doing a little exercise in paragraph 5. And what information do you need? It's on page, it's out of the lessons, and it's in page 59, page 59 in the workbook.
Oh. You know what, you guys, I'm really sorry, I'm going to leave. I just, you know, my brain is too scrambled, and
okay.
I'm just feeling really upset, and it just seems too much. I'm sorry.
Well, we wish you the best. Whatever bits what's upsetting you, we're hoping you get through
Thank you.
Be okay. You take care.
Thanks, Nora.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, Ross, would you like to go now about how you You can tell us what you concluded, but you don't have to. I just mostly am interested in how you came to that conclusion.
So I guess I'll use, yesterday I had all these people to contact. And so what I did was, you know what, I'm just going to get peaceful and sleep on it and make my decision, you know, hopefully with the Holy Spirit's help. And it's kind of how I access the Holy Spirit, is just sleeping on it, and usually the answer comes to me in the morning.
Nice.
So I contacted everybody and canceled the trip. So that was the resolution of that.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, thank you. So you did something yesterday that you decided to use and told us how you came to the conclusion. Okay.
Yeah.
That works. Thank you. How about you, Deborah?
Let's see. I evacuated a few days ago, and one message was that all the houses in the canyon were gone. And then yesterday, there was news that some of the cabins are still there, mine among them. And there's still fire in that area, so it's, you know, not a given that I'll have a home to go back to. But last night, I had, in my dream state, I had a visitation from Andrew, and I said, Andrew, I just want you to hold my hands right now for a minute. And he did. And then he said, be present and be open. And it's really helped me since then to just deal with all of this and have some gratitude and compassion for everybody else that's going through the same thing. And so that's how I'm working with it.
I think that's, you actually went through Andrew to the Holy Spirit, and he answered you for you in your dream.
Yeah, it was very beautiful and very loving.
It does sound beautiful and loving. It does. Yeah. Okay, I think we've done it all. The reason I picked lesson 4 and the next lesson we're going to go to is because I've been working with Andrew, and those two lessons meant something to me in conjunction. And I came to this is the second time I'm going through the lessons, and lesson 24 is where I was when I talked to Andrew. And then he took me to other places. And it's amazing how different for me 24 came out the second time I went there than it was the first time. Yeah. I know. Tears for me, Deborah, always when I'm in my truth. When I'm crying, when I have tears, I know that I'm in my truth. Whatever I'm feeling then is my deepest feeling about it. So I'm actually loving your tears. Yeah. I say that to my clients. I say, in this office, I love tears. Because that means you're telling me the truth. You're knowing the truth.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. I don't know if I want to tell you where I ended up doing, what that lesson ended up for me or not, but the title, I'm just going to give you a hint. The title ended up telling me what I needed to do to answer the exercise the second time around. It was the title that said, okay, this is the answer. And it would be the answer for any given situation that I now can think of. But anyway, what I want us to do now is go to and we'll be doing this exercise once again at the end. So keep your finger on it somehow. And So now turn to lesson 189, which is the second, on the second page is page 360 in the book. And that we'll be reading paragraphs 7 through 10. And you still don't have the book, is that right, Deborah?
Right, yeah.
Something you didn't take with you, is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can think. I think it's important, but I can think of a lot of other things that are more important than books.
I definitely took my book, but it's where I'm staying and not at my office here. So.
Oh, you're in your office right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could I add something to what I said before?
Well, of course you can. We have plenty of time.
All I wanted to say was the other thing that came to me as I was doing that is, I mean, I have an idea how I would like, I have something I would like to happen in what I'm wanting, but mm-hmm. also in the process of giving it up to the Holy Spirit, I also released that. I realized, hey, it may not be, you know, that may not be the best outcome. So that was the other aspect of that that happened for me. I wanted to add that.
I think that's important. So, yeah, I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
We have to release our own ideas, don't we?
Yeah, especially, but this says, I do not perceive my own best interest, right?
That's right. And I think that all three of you did that. I heard you do it, Ross, by saying, I'm going to wait for a dream to come. And Deborah did it with her asking in her dream, or finding Andrew and his answer in her dream. And you were doing it also by
giving up.
Releasing it. Releasing your ideas. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So if you'll go now to lesson 189 on page 360. And it's 360 because I'm not going to have us read the first six paragraphs, just the last four. So if, Ross, do you want to read the first one?
Sure. So this is, I feel the love of God within me now. And paragraph 7 says, simply do this. Be still and lay aside all thoughts of what you are and what God is, all concepts you have learned about the world, all images you hold about yourself. Empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false, or good or bad, of every thought it judges worthy and all the ideas of which it is ashamed. Hold on to nothing. Do not bring with you one thought the past has taught, nor one belief you ever learned before. Oh, whoops. Nor one belief you ever learned before from anything. Forget this world. Forget this course. And come with wholly empty hands unto your God.
You know, it's interesting about this book because I apparently wrote down the lesson I didn't intend to write down. But that paragraph applied absolutely perfectly. So, I'm glad you, and I have found that happened before, that I thought I was needing to go one place and I opened the book and something just struck me wherever I opened the book to. I'm sure you all have too, but okay, so. Is there at the end of that lesson a italicized thing, those of you who are there?
Yes.
Yeah, 10. Mm-hmm. Number
what
10.
Does it say? What's the first line of it?
Father, we do not know the way to you.
Okay. I'm using these little cards, and I did go to the right place, but these cards are numbered differently, so okay, that's great. All right. Jacqueline, would you like to read paragraph 8, please?
Okay. Is it not he who knows the way to you? You need not know the way to him. Your part is simply to allow all obstacles that you have interposed between the Son and God the Father to be quietly removed forever. God will do his part in joyful and immediate response. Ask and receive. But do not make demands, nor point the road to God by which he should appear to you. The way to reach him is merely to let him be, for in that way is reality proclaimed as well.
Oop, you're muted, Luann.
I forgot to say, if you have comments to make about any of these paragraphs, please stop and say, I have something I want to say about that. So now the first two paragraphs, if you have anything you want to say so far. Any of you?
Good okay. stuff.
Huh?
It's good. Really good stuff. Just, mm-hmm. You know, what occurs to me is that anything you think and anything you perceive is bound to be incorrect. We're using the wrong tools to try to, you know, figure anything out. And mm-hmm. so he says that right here. Just empty your mind of everything it thinks is either true or false. Because basically every thought you have is going to be wrong. So unless you're you know, stepping back and as we talked about with Ken Wapnick, if you're not aligned with the decision maker, you're going to make the wrong choice. No yes. matter, you're going to perceive it wrong, you're going to interpret it wrong, you're going to think about it wrong. So you might as well just empty your mind and just wait for an answer, because you're going to mess it up otherwise. I really like this.
Yeah,
Andrew calls it linear thinking versus nonlinear thinking. And we think linearly, and this book is saying we have to think nonlinearly. Like, it doesn't make a bit of sense to us in our thinking process. We have to think of it as something else. That's what he's been trying to teach me, is it's not. I wrote somewhere when I was thinking about this, I've always in my life, I'm fairly intelligent, I've always thought that if there's a problem I needed to solve, I could eventually solve it. Just keep working at it, and eventually I would solve it. Well, this book is a problem in my life that I can't solve. And it's kind of like what you're saying, Ross. I have to let go of my thinking process because it does not work anymore, not for this. And
right. You know, he's also saying in almost every paragraph, I'm hearing him say, well, yeah, there really is no problem. What I want you to do is to graduate from this course. I'm going to give you a sentence in the paragraph that tells you, go ahead and graduate. Go ahead and just go for peace, happiness, mm-hmm. joy, and you're filled with love.
Yeah.
And go for that now and realize there is no problem if you just stay in that state.
Yeah.
And he says that in almost every single paragraph. And then it's like, oh, you didn't get it? All right, well, here's another paragraph. And I'm going to put that sentence in there again to give you a chance. Go ahead and wake up now. Oh, you didn't wake up? All right, well, here's another paragraph. But I'm going to put another sentence in there that says, wake up now. There is no problem to solve.
You know what Andrew says about that? He says, you're only one thought away.
Exactly.
He says, you're only one thought away. Yeah. Yeah.
And okay, then we set up more obstacles and go right back to where we were and have to remove them again.
Yeah, well, the ego is just as strong as God is, so that's the problem. Our egos come back really fast to try to get control us again almost immediately after we have some kind of a epiphany or a miracle or whatever, holy instant or whatever you want to call it. Our ego is right there to take us under its wing again and hope we stay there. So, yeah.
You look at the last line in paragraph 7. Forget this course.
Yeah, I saw.
There's your hint right there. Go ahead and graduate. You don't need it anymore. But all right, if you do, here's paragraph 8.
Absolutely. And every time our ego grabs us, then we have to go back to the course to be reminded again. Yeah,
we're not. Get this course. There's okay. there's a saying: if you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him.
Yep.
So, does everybody know what that means?
Yeah, that means don't.
That's horrible. But it means you don't need the course. You don't need the Buddha. All the answers are within already. Mm-hmm. So
that's why I'm
looking
like
somewhere else. You don't need to look here. It's already done.
That's why I liked your tears, Deborah, because you were in your truth then. And that's mm-hmm. all we really need, isn't it, is our truth. Yeah. Okie doke. We're going to do this back and forth. Jacqueline, would you read 9, please?
Okay. And so today we do not choose the way in which we go to him, but we do choose to let him come. And with this choice we rest. And in our quiet hearts and open minds, his love will blaze its pathway of itself. What has not been denied is surely there, if it be true and can be surely reached. God knows his son and knows the way to him. He does not need his son to show him how to find his way. Through every open door, his love shines outward from its home within and lightens up the world in innocence.
What was the last word there, Jacqueline? In what?
Innocence. Mm-hmm. And lightens up the world in innocence.
Thank you.
So the choice is to let him come. We can choose that.
Luann, you're muted. Oh, she's muted. I don't know if she realizes it. Luann, you're muted.
You're muted, Luann.
I was going to say my dogs, I had to help a dog jump up on my bed because they think, I have one dog that doesn't think he can do it on his own. Up and down. I bought him a three-step thing to get on my bed, and I'm going to have to train him to get up and down because I'm so sick of having to do it for him. But anyway, innocence is a word in the book that always brings me a sense of relief and release. Like, if I'm innocent, then I really don't have to worry about how I am. I just have to worry about what I want to be. I don't even have to worry about that, actually. Just as Ross said, I just have to let go and let God, kind of, whatever that means. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so Ross, would you like to read the number 10, please?
Father, we do not know the way to you, but we have called, and you have answered us. We will not interfere. Salvation's ways are not our own, for they belong to you. And it is unto you we look for them. Our hands are open to receive your gifts. We have no thoughts we think apart from you, and cherish no beliefs of what you are or who created us. Yours is the way that we would find and follow. And we ask but that your will, which is our own as well, be done in us and in the world, that it become a part of heaven now. Amen.
So that's like a prayer being offered to us, I guess.
All the italic things are prayers, and these lessons are in the text.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Except when they're asking you to do something, and then they're
yes.
A lesson. But anything that's okay. Italic, you can use as a prayer. Yeah. Okay. Now what I want us to do is go back to lesson 24 and repeat what we did before with a different situation. So take a minute to close your eyes and find a different situation and decide how you would like it handled. I guess I should say how you would like to have your preferences obtained. You can open your eyes when you're ready. Who wants to go first? Raise your hand, whoever. Quick, quick, quick.
First.
Okay, Deborah, thank you.
Yeah, since this whole COVID thing, my practice has fallen away quite a bit. And I was wondering whether to let go of this office because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. And I tried subletting it, and I didn't get any responses. I did that a couple times. So I'm just taking Ross's route and just letting it be what it is and letting the story about it unfold, the best pathway forward. I'm just letting it be what it is.
Mm. Yeah. And if the answer comes in a dream or however, you're open to receiving it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
What about either of the other of you?
Sure. So what I find is that the Holy Spirit is, I mean, obviously it's just part of the mind, the one mind. So a spiritual teacher said, well, yeah, okay, Holy Spirit, he was talking about the Course versus he didn't know the Course. But he said, oh, well, I know what you mean by the Holy Spirit. That's my deepest knowledge and truth. And so I think of the Holy Spirit as my deepest knowledge and truth. And it comes to me in different ways. Like, in other words, I said I sleep on it. I talk to other people. That can be the Holy Spirit. When you hear truth not filtered by the ego, it rings like a bell, and you just say, oh, that is the Holy Spirit talking to me through that other person, or through sleeping on it. Or, you know, those are the best ways for me to get the situation to happen like I want it to happen. So that's pretty much the method I use, and that's what I'm planning on doing with the situation I have in mind, is sleep on it tonight, talk to other people, listen for that clear bell of that's the way to go, rather than, you know, try to say, you know, some ego-based way I might decide, or some dictatorial way I might decide. So as Jacqueline says, that way the best win-win thing will come up. It'll just kind of bubble up rather than trying to force the situation.
You added one thing to what I would have said, and that was, and I've had experiences, but I had not thought of it, is that sometimes other people will say something and it's a knowing. It's a knowing. When my therapist told me, why don't you become a psychologist, I'd never thought of that before. But
right.
Everything in me said yes.
But it rang like a bell, huh? It
rang like a bell.
And you went, bing, that's it.
Right. Yeah, so I appreciate you reminding me of that. Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it's working for me so far.
Mm-hmm.
And then also make sure you're peaceful when you make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Because then all the bells line up.
I think for me, peaceful is a criteria for a knowing. If it doesn't feel peaceful, if there's any kind of doubt, any kind of fear, any kind of hesitancy, then my ego probably has me. Whereas if I'm in peace, then I know it hasn't. It doesn't. Yeah. How about you, Jack? Anybody else want to say something about what Ross said? Well, you can
I really appreciate everything that each one of you is saying. And Ross, I'm really, you're adding to my understanding and commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and mine as well.
So did you want to talk about your experience when you...
Well, when I started bringing it up, what I noticed was at the very core of it was anxiety. And so I realized that anxiety was what I needed to kind of... That was actually... That was the part that needed the love and the Holy Spirit, the anxiety. And then all the issue around it was all traced back to a sense of this anxiety. You know, what it has to do with COVID-19, whatever it has to do, I just really, it allowed me to see that and you know, to really ask to let that, you know, have that, let go of that, let go of the anxiety. And I think everything around that I was considering will probably resolve itself. And once again, you know, Holy Spirit idea is a new idea to me with Course in Miracles. Throughout my life, I've called on guides or angels or even, you know, God, Mother Goddess, Father Goddess. So Holy Spirit is a new sense of guidance to call on. So I'm just doing that more and more.
The church I used to go to is called the Center for Spiritual Enlightenment. And we had a guest minister from Monterey come up one time, and he said, you can call it a gut sense, you could call it instinct, you could call it mysticism. He says, I call it the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's kind of... My therapist used to call it the creative source. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, yeah. It's all one and the same thing in a way, and it's a kind of a knowing that doesn't have a bad feeling to it. Sometimes I get a knowing, and it's got a bad feeling to it, and I say, okay, I need to change that. I need to let that go in order to find out what my truth about it is. Yeah. So I think that's what you're saying, and I think, I agree with you. Sometimes this is not, I've been studying this for 30 years with my therapist, but I've been calling it the creative source, and I was not ever Catholic. In fact, I didn't grow up with theoretically my family was Methodist, but that's about as much as I knew about religion. So I guess what I'm trying to say is when my therapist called my inner knowing creative source, that fit for me at the time. And so now I'm just, sometimes I call it Holy Spirit and sometimes I call it Creative Source. And mm-hmm. I think whatever you want to call it, it's some kind of thing like what Ross was saying. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think guidance has come to me, you know, through the other ideas I had about, you know, where this guidance was coming from. Mm-hmm. But really, the way the Course in Miracles talks about the Holy Spirit, it did really resonate with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd already been practicing it just in different names.
Yeah, because I think sometimes the words get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a lot of trouble with forgiveness, so I just changed it to exonerate, because exonerate means they never did it.
Uh-huh.
So the DNA evidence came in, and it wasn't that guy; it was this other guy. So it's exonerate, not forgive.
Uh-huh.
And what you said, Jacqueline, was anxiety. And to me, most of our fear that the Course talks about is actually anxiety.
Uh-huh.
It's something that's never going to happen. And yet we fret and fret over it. And then when the situation resolves, we go, oh, well, I was totally wrong. It never happened the way I thought it was going to happen.
Yeah.
I was just having this anxiety. Whereas fear, you know, I understand that Jesus on the cross felt no pain, no fear, all that. And even though he, you know, 99.99% of the people that are appearing to be on this earth would have felt fear, he did not, even though it was a body fear because he was having nails mm-hmm. pushed through his arm. But I think that's, you know, he's the exception. He made it all the way. He overcame the world. But, you know, we're just trying to deal with anxiety mostly. Fear, that's another whole ball game where, you know, someone's going to chop off your head. You know, we don't really deal with that on a day-to-day basis. We mainly deal with anxiety.
One day is all we can deal with that.
The head being chopped off is one time, you only get one shot at
it. It happens once, right? In this lifetime, at least. It's only
there, what I'm saying, you know, the Course tells us that words are symbols of symbols. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you've got to pick what works for you. So me, it's exonerate, anxiety, you know, a lot of these words. And God, even God has just so many, there's so much weight to that word. And love, there's so much weight to that word. It's mm-hmm. so misused that it's almost like I hesitate to use it.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you use exonerate, what I use is innocence. Because the innocence that I learned from as far as Jesus on the cross is concerned is when he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. I think he was saying we're all innocent. We're all innocent, just like the book says over and over and over again.
Of course, yeah.
So that would be when I have a problem with someone or something, I have to say to myself, like me and like everyone else, they're innocent. Yeah.
You know, a few lessons ago, when we started out, Andrew had us...
Hey, look who's here.
Look who's here.
Hi.
Hey!
Hi.
Hey!
Hi, everybody.
There's no flames behind you. There's no flames behind you.
Yeah, all that water.
Well, can't you see the smoke?
It's white smoke. I don't think that's smoke.
Well, that's a lake in New Zealand.
Mm.
Yeah, beautiful spot.
Did you evacuate? Did you have to evacuate?
Well, partially. I took some stuff out today and brought it to a friend's house down in Los Gatos.
Okay.
My van is all packed up and I'm ready to bug out. I could get the order tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
But so far, I don't have to go.
It hasn't come across the road?
It hasn't crossed 17 yet. But the yellow zone is up to 17.
Yes.
And so, so unfortunately, that's getting a couple hundred feet from my house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're right off of 17, huh?
Yeah. Oops, I could jump.
Did I ask you, my memory's horrible, did I ask you to talk about what you did that second time around, Deborah?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. I just want to say what my experience is. I chose my brother because I haven't talked to him really in about 4 years ever since my parents died, and he was the executor, and he did some things that my other brother and I didn't really appreciate, and then he got mad at us for not appreciating it. So we've had very minimal conversations, and there's a part of me that would really like to get back to him. So in this exercise on lesson 24, what I realized was I have a situation and there is no goal that I know I want. If I have no right perception, then I don't have a goal. And if there's any way of ever giving back to him, and I don't know if there is, and I can't say that's even my best choice, then it's going to be a little bit like what Ross said, in that that I just need to wait until the answer comes. And it'll come when I'm ready for it, I guess. I don't know. That's what mm-hmm. it feels like. So anyway, we are through with the exercise unless someone has something to say about what I just said. And then you can take over and do whatever you want with this, Andrew.
Well, you teed me up perfectly if we're going to talk about your brother and what to do mm-hmm. about an impasse. Mm-hmm. Something that just isn't working. It seems impossible. It seems like there's just more trouble every time you communicate. What could you do about that? How would Course in Miracles get you through an impasse? It seems like an impossibility. And lesson 161 is a practical guide to navigate an impossible relationship that could take years of counseling and luck.
I'm going to have to get up and go get my book because I didn't bring it.
Okay, great. We will be here. Turn to workbook 304. Workbook 304, lesson 161. But it's, the bottom of the page says 304. Hey, where did my lake go? How's it going, Deborah?
Okay.
You're in Santa Cruz County, too, aren't you?
Yeah, you visited me last night, and you counseled me very beautifully. You're helping me through it.
Good.
I was evacuated a few days ago.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. Thank you.
Glad to be there.
So, Deborah, you don't know probably when you'll find out for sure, huh?
I'm thinking about going up there tomorrow.
Oh. To look.
But since it's still really hot and things are still burning up there, it's still up in the air as to how it'll all resolve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you hear what happened to Deborah? She was told the whole canyon where she lived was burnt, and then she found out later that there were a few houses that were exempt, and hers was one of them.
Ah.
Yeah. And yeah. Sundari, did you tell them that you just joined the same time Andrew did?
That I just, Andrew, you just came on?
Yeah.
Oh, and were you evacuated?
I'm in the process of evacuating. They haven't given me the order yet. So I'm preparing for it, and the winds have changed so that right tonight my house is safe.
Good.
It's clear. I've got good air. It's really beautiful out there. So at the moment,
mm-hmm.
Sundari's blessing bubble is working.
Okay.
Okay. Keeps up for all of you.
Anyway, Andrew is going to take over now, and I can sit back and relax.
All right. So in typical, thank you, Luann. Thank you for...
Yeah, thank you, Luann.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you. Thank you all for helping me. I really appreciate that.
I knew they would. Excellent. So this lesson 161 is it's so practical in a typical Course in Miracles way. It does the opposite the ego wants to do. You're going to do the opposite that the ego would do. And so, the title says it all. These are fighting words. We're talking about the problem person in your life. And it's, give me your blessing, Holy Son of God. So, we're talking about that problem person in your life. We're going to ask their blessing. That's exactly opposite of what the ego wants to do. But, of course, what would love do? It's so brilliant. So, let's spend time and look at something. We'll read it, and then we'll work at it. So, Luann, would you begin for us and read us paragraph one?
Give me your blessing, Holy Son of God. Today we practice differently and take a stand against our anger, that our fears may disappear and offer room to love. Here is salvation in the simple words in which we practice with today's idea. Here is the answer to temptation, which can never fail to welcome in the Christ where fear and anger have prevailed before. Here is atonement made complete, the world passed safely by and heaven now restored. Here's the answer of the voice for God.
What did you just read? The answer to the voice for God? You read the way that the world is passed safely by and then heaven is restored? Is that what we're getting ourselves into here? Did you just read a paragraph that says, here is the answer to temptation, which can never fail to welcome the Christ, where fear and anger had prevailed before? This seems like something that's worth spending some time with. No. All this is programmed in here. Yo. Ross, give us paragraph two.
Complete abstraction is the natural condition of the mind, but part of it is now unnatural. It does not look on everything as one. It sees instead but fragments of the whole, for only thus could it invent the partial world you see. The purpose of all seeing is to show you what you wish to see. All hearing but brings to your mind the sounds it wants to hear.
Wow. You know what we're going to do? We're going to do, since I came in late, we're going to kind of study as we go along instead of reading through the whole thing, because these first couple paragraphs have some of this. I want to make sure we don't miss what's in these first couple of paragraphs. So first, what he just read for us, thank you, Ross. Complete abstraction is a natural condition of the mind. That's a whole teaching in itself. That's a whole explanation of how you were created. That's a whole explanation of how creation, the basis of creation. If you were created as a creator, complete abstraction would have to be your natural state. If you were created as a follower, then it would not be abstraction. It is huge. Laying down some huge metaphysical statements right here. Complete abstraction is a natural condition of the mind. Wow. So that means that if you get into linear thinking, that means if you get into thinking that says, if A, then B must follow. You're in linear thinking. You're in the world of the ego. And then you will get the effects of being in the world of the ego, thinking linearly. You don't have the freedom of abstraction where creativity actually happens. So, amazing sentence. He just goes right on. But, you know, here it is, and you've seen it now, right? So, but part of the mind, this explains what you are and where you are and what happened. What happened? This perfect love is somehow struggling in a body with worry or hate or division of some sort. How is that even possible? Here it is. Part of the mind is now unnatural. Unnatural meaning it does not follow its design. It's decided to be creative and diverge. That's not a problem. It's not a problem. There is no sin. There is only love expanding. That's it. However, part of the mind has dreamed up something that's not natural to the whole rest of the mind, including the source, the separation. It's not a problem. It can't stay. It's just a dream. This part of the mind does not look on everything as one, period. This part of the mind does not look on everything as one. So now we've come full circle. Now we understand the truth, don't we? Right in that sentence, the truth is laid out. Everything is one. And in order for this mind to be afraid, in order for this mind to feel like you have a problem with your brother, in order for this mind to feel like it's you against everything else. You in that body are against everything else, including God. In order for that sense to occur at all, you do not know everything as one. Simple as that. You're muted. It's simple as that.
What I said was, I have a problem.
Well, yeah, and you're drunk. You're drunk on ego and separation, and you're having fun. You're actually enjoying the separation as much as it bites you now and then. All of us are. There's no sin, but we're wrapped up in it. We're just wrapped up in it. No harm is being done. Not one step in heaven is being missed because we ventured off into this creative division. He's just pointing this stuff out here, right? It's all through the book, but isn't it great that your teacher, at so many different places, the highest levels that you can grasp are waiting for you. And that's why I just love studying this book. So now, you know, so you got the truth laid right before you. This part of the mind does not look on everything as one, period. Great sentence. I think we're reading a spiritual book now for sure. This part of the mind that has slipped off into separation and now defends it as if it were its own life. This part of the mind sees instead but fragments of the whole. Well, that's what's going on. That makes sense. For only thus could it invent the partial world you see. Struggling in fragments. There's other places in the book where it talks about parts and how the ego's world is invested in parts. Names. We give those parts names. The purpose of all seeing is to show you, here's where the information comes in, what you wish to see. This is because you are not only loved, but you were created by love, to love. And love is an extension. So even in your dream, even in the illusion state, even in this world of separation, everything here happens, you can trace it back to getting what you wish. You are not a victim. You've never been a victim. Your body is playing the part of a victim. And so it's always going to get the effects of thinking that's true. But when you rise up to these higher levels, when you step back from the struggling body, even for an instant, especially if you have physical pain and you've ever gotten really still in your meditation and you notice the pain wasn't there, does that happen to anybody else? Reality falls apart in those moments, you know, the reality of the world. And then you recognize your mind really is your kingdom, the whole kingdom. Your whole experience comes through your mind, not from the world to you. Opposite of that. Okay. All hearing that brings to your mind the sounds that your mind wants to hear. This is one of those threads that goes through the course. Usually it picks it up like this and then drops it. It's only there for those people who are ready to absorb it. He doesn't push it in your face and say, if you don't get this, close the book, because too many will close the book. But when you're ready for it, boy, does he give you this in double fistfuls. Let's go see where it is. Turn to page 448 in the text real quick. You guys all have this highlighted, I'm sure. These are fighting words for the ego. 448 in the text. And look at those italics. Mm-hmm. Fighting words, I tell ya. You started with this, you would throw the book out. Ross, would you read for us those italics? In fact, read for us that whole paragraph. The whole paragraph. It's really three different messages. Please.
Paragraph two, then.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
This is the only thing that you need do for vision. Happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin, all to be given you. I didn't emphasize that right.
Read it again, because what he's reading is a pretty sweet menu.
Okay, let me see if I can get the emphasis right.
Yeah.
This is the only thing that you need to do for vision. Happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin, all to be given you. That's a tough sentence. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but read it again. Bring it to us, Ross.
Oh, man.
This is amazing news.
This is the only thing you need to do for vision, happiness, release from pain.
Vision? You're just going to go right over vision. Well, vision's pretty impressive, but what if vision was something that was like you think for somebody else? Vision might be for two, if you've got to be a spiritual person or interested in the spiritual stuff too much. Maybe vision is too much, but when you start to drink this whole vision teaching of A Course in Miracles, when that word pops up, there's always something right underneath it for you. So instead, he also picks up happiness. Happiness. The universal draw to the mind, even the separated beings, even the drug dealer, even the murderer, even the baby, they all want happiness.
You know, funny you mentioned that, but that occurred to me that, okay, what is common to everybody? Because instead of, for me, it was hard to go right to love and a call for love. But I thought, well, what does everybody really want? Well, happiness.
Nice.
The guy who's robbing your house, he thinks, and you've said this before, that he thinks that that's going to, his next fix is going to give him happiness. Okay, well, that's what it's a misguided pursuit of happiness. But we even have it in the Constitution. It guarantees us the right for the pursuit of happiness. Not happiness itself, but the pursuit of it.
And you found a way. You found a way with that understanding to join with a murderer.
Right.
To join with the ugliest things there are, you found a way to join. And I'll tell you, if you don't find a way to join, separation will continue forever. And it should, because that's where you're working it.
And the other thing, we were talking about it earlier, it's just, I had to find the words that worked for me. And, like, love has so much weight to it. It's like, oh, I don't know if I can use that word, but I can use happiness.
Yes. Yeah. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, that's good. I love it, Ross. Thank you. Thank you. Absolutely, that's the vector of the learning and the teaching of A Course in Miracles. You are on it.
Nice.
Okay, go ahead. Bring it to it. So if vision isn't your cup of tea, and maybe if happiness you think is unrealistic because your life is just too hard. Well, he continues. Ross, what else you got?
After that? The italics. Release from pain.
Release from pain will do.
And the complete escape from sin.
That would be good.
Because it's all to be given to you.
And you don't have to go, I don't have to go get it. I don't have to go invent it. I'll have to dig a hole and dig it up and then plant it in my own soul so that it grows strong enough it might work one day. Those are given me? Wow. Okay, now we're on the same page. Please continue.
Say only this, but mean it with no reservations, for here the power of salvation lies.
You know, and I've said this before, but maybe, Ross, you haven't heard me say this. A Course in Miracles uses the word but a lot. And so do we. You know, regular human beings walking around in this separate ego world. And you know, you say a sentence, you put the word but in there, you say, gee, Luann, it's really great that you led the meeting tonight, but...
I was waiting for the but.
And whatever I'm about to say is what I really want you to hear. I'm going to get, right, whatever else I said, pretty stuff to butter you up, you know, but the next time, right, so... Same with A Course in Miracles. He will give you some information, and then the word but comes in. He's using it on purpose. Really focus in the words that follow but. Because if you want to make the correction, the miracle, the shift in perception, it's going to be in those words that follow the but. And they are exact. He means what he says. And here's this, you know, obviously he does here too. He says, say only this that we're about to read, but, record scratch, right? Wait a minute. Uh-oh. Time to set up. Say, but. The but means I know your ego wants to do something else. Mean what you're about to read. Mean it with no reservations at all. Then it will work. Then it will bring you vision, happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin. All this will be given you if you mean this with no reservation. Well, people ask me all the time, Andrew, just give me the sentence. What's in this whole book that I can use? Give me something I can use, they say. I got a problem to solve, they say. You can kind of feel that information is here. It's here. If you can let it be your truth. So, Ross, please continue.
I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked.
Well done. That's exactly how I like to hear it, with that eye punched. Hang on, Sundari.
Remember that.
Because now he's going to finish up and drive the nail flat
with a personal comment to you. If you're going to use this tool, this is one of the toolbox items. You know, we have it on the website. There's a toolbox, and it's got 15 or so things like this. This is one of them. If the beep hits the fan, and you need some help from A Course in Miracles right now, this is one of the things that you just grab a hold of, and you can have a little awakening right then and there around your problem, if you're ready for it. And I have other ones that are a little gentler than this. But Ross, please continue that paragraph. It's right in your face.
Deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you.
Wow, that's personal. That's personal. Jesus is saying, look, if you want my perspective from where I've been, you've been deceiving yourself. And I found the problem, by the way, Jesus said. It's you. Like I said, they're fighting words. Please continue.
Acknowledge, but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear.
Yes. Sometimes he uses the word but to as the word only, and this is the case there. Okay, Sundar, what do you got?
Well, I've been in the midst of this all day. But the neighbors in the drive here, and they're both gone. And, you know, I can feel, you know, how I've been wavering between wanting my victimhood and I've been wronged by these people and wanting to let them be good neighbors. And, you know, when I sort of settled the thing, I had gotten there with the Ho'oponopono, and but I keep wavering. I keep wavering. So today I made a call to, as soon as we got the project settled, just the moment it was settled and I said I would do it and I'll sign the contract when my work's done, I'll pay them the third, then the next thing he did was eat, and I said, and you can be in charge. And so he immediately emailed the contractor saying, all this work we're doing on this day that we've all agreed, and all except for the Sundari's part of the property up there, then she needs to pay extra for it. And it was like I was tossed under the bus. So, and the contractor had said he would cover that part of it, and before this guy's email. So I'm mad about this email. So I call up the contractor. This is so funny. And I'm trying to say, listen, I just want to validate that you really did say that you'd fix this thing that's been having a problem. That's my thing, my little box that keeps breaking with the water. And then I condemn myself by saying, you know, that email Jeff sent you, he sort of tossed me under the bus by saying this wasn't...
You caught yourself. You caught the diversion.
No, it is funny. And so right at that moment, the call dropped, and I was unable to call back. Saved by Holy Spirit, or at least highlighted.
All right. You got friends in high places.
It's just like I've been so praying to Spirit to truly get me into the role of being a good neighbor, to have a good neighbor. And it was so funny, too, because the other neighbor at the top of the hill had a box delivered, and they wouldn't do anything for me. And I just kind of left it there for a few days, and they're still gone. And yesterday I picked it up, and I said, I bet it would be safer if I put it by their door, you know, just to make sure no one takes it. So I did that. You know, it sort of felt better about being a good neighbor. But it's such a struggle. It's such a struggle to stay. It's been like a real struggle not to, you know, I felt like, it was all solved. And then there was this email. And so it's interesting unfoldment. And it feels like exactly this. And the one other aspect of this that I really do want to say something about is what you said. Where was that? But mean it with no reservations. Say only this, but mean it with I was at the site of the Last Supper, and I became very friendly with the nun that runs the site there. And my last moment there, she came up to me just as I was leaving, and she grabs my shoulders and almost shakes me and says, listen, when you pray to Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit you need to pray to is the one that Jesus prayed to at the moment he was on the cross. And then I started leaving again, and she stopped me again. She did it two more times.
Wow.
Three times in a row at the site of the last. And I have thought about that so much. It's nice. Like, how much am I praying to be a good neighbor? You know, am I praying, but mean it with no reservations?
No,
am I praying to the Holy Spirit at the moment that Jesus was praying on the cross? And so,
so it turns out that you don't need a cross to be crucified, as we learn.
We do it ourselves.
You did a great job. By the way, this email that was so unfair to me, that was like a nail in each of my wrists, that email, it can't be but myself I crucify, right? It's one of our lessons.
What?
It can't be but myself that I crucify. It's one of the lessons in what he goes through. You don't need a cross. These thoughts, yeah. And as it turns out also, if we, each thought, each and every thought, there are no neutral thoughts. So either it's a thought of healing or it's a thought of separating. It's a thought of love or it's a thought of murder. He uses that word, as you know, several places in the book. It's kind of nice because it puts a real edge on the discussion. No mistake. But you know what? We're not here to go the slow way. If you're doing A Course in Miracles, you're probably here to, you know, let's put it in second or third gear. Let's get going. And that's why I like some of that strong language that's in here. Good. Good catch, Sundari. And you know it by how it feels. You, for me, in my life, I began to stop myself. You know, if I felt myself in the early days, you know, I'd be upset or angry. And I'd be like, say, on lesson 34, I could choose peace instead of this. I've been saying that 100 times so far on that day. And yet I'm not choosing peace. I would stop. I'd say, well, fine. You know, I had a couple of employees back then and working in a job in Silicon Valley, and things were going wrong all the time. And but, you know, I was taking the book serious. And just by stepping back and saying, how do I choose peace instead of this employee issue?
So that's really tricky, though, because besides asking for asking Holy Spirit and trusting.
Yes, trust.
I think that, like, I've had two or three times when I've been gone. I mean, really, I'm in the pits.
The fur in the back of your neck is up.
And, you know, it's been interesting because I have David Hoffmeister's quite a good friend, really. And I have reached out to him in a funny way, just like saying, just in a text or something, you know, I'm lost. Please join with me. And he'll send me back just, you know, a bunch of little hearts in a row as a text. But it makes a huge difference. It's like there's a way that we can, I think, I don't know what you think of this.
Well, because the hearts are in that, for example, you know, that he sent, you stopped for a moment and appealed to higher mind. You called it David Hoffmeister, you called it a cell phone, but it's what actually happened is you stepped back. Not that he stepped forward.
Right. It's not that he did anything.
Right.
Changed things.
You stepped back. There's a section in chapter 18 called I Need Do Nothing. And it's your ego have you busy attacking and defending and having all sorts of troubles. What you need to do as soon as possible is have your ego do nothing. And then all these things will be given to you. But they're given to you through silence, stillness, through not following the ego. I love to call the ego the unholy spirit. You know why? Because the ego is a spirit. The ego does have spirit. The ego has an entire mind's whole thought system.
And we're living in it. You see it all around you. And it has a way of doing things. It's based on fear and guilt instead of love and joy. That's another thought system. That's the Holy Spirit is joining and expanding, extending, and it does it with the confidence of abstraction. You see how different that is from how the unholy spirit operates. The unholy spirit works with attack and defense. Attack where required, defense when appropriate and necessary. And then judgment to make sure that everything is defendable and the words are there to back up your actions. Right? That's what I call the unholy spirit. But it is a spirit because it will find a way to act out if that is a spirit to which you're appealing. That's the ego. And so if you actually stopped like you did, and you just stopped, and maybe you did another one of our toolbox item on page 28, where it says, I am here, there's italics on 28, I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here in this hospital room, or in this car accident, or in divorce court, or out with an empty tank of gas. I am here to represent him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say in this hospital room, in this wherever, or what to do, because here's why I don't have to worry. Here's why I don't have to worry. He who sent me will direct me. That's trust, right? You have to mean these kinds with no reservation, and then the healing is just happening as you say it. But it's really because you stood back from the unholy spirit, and you're calling in the Holy Spirit. And so I don't have to worry about where to go, because he who sent me will go there with me. And then the big one, look, I will be healed as I let this higher mind teach me to heal in this circumstance with the car wreck, divorce court, child problems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is where and how the Holy Spirit will have the most leverage. Nothing wasted. But boy, the contrast of appealing to love when fear or anger or attack was being called forth. The contrast of choosing patience or tolerance or honesty in a moment when you really feel like lying just to get it done, right? The contrast of actually choosing these higher ways of thinking bring me to another really great sentence that needs to be highlighted in your book. It's on text page 562. Text page 562. This is what Sundari is describing. And the feeling that you get, it's a holy instant, when you actually turn away the ego and let the Holy Spirit come through. Oh, yeah, 562. Great, 560. Guys, so many pages in this book, huh? All right. Look at paragraph 6, sentence 1. It says, this needs to be highlighted in your book. Somebody saw it today?
No, I was thinking of this sentence today.
The holiest of all the spots on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. Wow. That is how the ugliness of the world is reconciled. And when it's reconciled, this is exactly how you see it. If you're listening to the unholy spirit, there's a reconciliation, and hatred stays hatred because that's justified. But when you appeal to the Holy Spirit and you have the situation translated, it requires that you step back. But when you have it translated by your Holy Spirit, then you can see how this is really not a new hatred. This is an ancient hatred, the one that actually bought the separation. And you recognize what it really is.
what's really behind it. Then this ugly, ugly place, it becomes a present. Key word now, present, right? When you're doing your meditations and you recognize the power of letting go of the future and letting go of the past for being impossible, so it's not hard to let them go. In your meditation, when you say, well, you know what? The present is actually my life. And the future will never come, and the past is completely over if it ever existed the way I saw it in the first. You know what? I'm just going to be present. When your meditation winds around to that, isn't there a peacefulness that just goes right to your heart? Isn't there an instant and complete awareness of truth? This is accessing the truth. So when that happens, presence returns. The same presence that you would get in one of those great meditations. The presence returns when you have the Holy Spirit translate the situation to see what's actually behind it. And there it's not an attack on you. It's a clue, right? Well, how much time? Okay, I'm using up too much time on some of these sidetracks here. That's a sentence I wanted you to see, so just leave it at that. But it's got some really great support for that. It's beautiful, beautiful words. But this is what happens when you appeal to lesson 161 and you take the teaching literally. You actually, with no reservation, you do this. Let's see if we can pick up some more of this teaching. Check out Jacqueline, paragraph 3.
Thus, we're specific.
Wait, Rod, did you finish? Did you... Or whoever was reading, did I let you finish? Who was reading 2? Did we finish 2? Yeah, I think we did. Go ahead, 3.
Okay. Thus were specifics made, and now it is specifics we must use in practicing. We give them to the Holy Spirit that he may employ them for a purpose which is different from the one we gave to them. Yet he can use but what we made to teach us from a different point of view so we can see a different use in everything.
We got to unpack some of the literal teaching in here, the literal information in here. Okay, so first of all, that's where specifics made. They were made unnaturally with linear thinking. Specifics. But since you've made them and you've been imbibing in them your whole life, defining even your own identity, defined by the separation of the world, specifics. Everything's got a name, it's got a value, this one's tall, that one's short, this one's good, that one's bad. Now that that is your reality, which is not abstract, that's linear thinking, every coin has two sides according to the ego, right? Not abstraction. Now that that's your reality, how generous is it that with specifics we will use in practicing. Gee, thank you, Jesus. Meeting you where you are. We give these specifics to the Holy Spirit that he may employ them for a purpose which is different from the one that we gave to them. That's what a miracle is. A miracle is where you take what you believe falsely and you say, Holy Spirit, take this and give it back to me truly. It's a shift in perception. That's what a miracle is. And that's what he's talking about right here. Yet the Holy Spirit, here's where it gets literal. The Holy Spirit can use but, and but is meaning only. Holy Spirit can use only what we made. This is a generous teacher who meets you where you are instead of saying, come back when you're ready. It's taking where you are, bodies, time, space, brothers, selfishness, unfairly treated, things like that. All this you've made. He says, you know what, I'll use it. I have no problem. I know you believe in it, so we're going to use it. Very generous teacher. The fact is, he can only use what you make because you don't understand the things of truth right now. Yet, he can use but what we made to teach us from a different point of view so that we can see a different use in everything. That is so generous, so kind. Deborah, would you read for us paragraph 4? This is really heavy-duty stuff.
I wish I had a book here, but I don't.
Oh, I would love to hear you read.
All right,
next time. Then we get back around to Ross, I think.
Okay. Number 4, then. Our brother is all brothers.
Yeah, one brother.
Every mind contains all minds, for every mind is one. Such is the truth. Yet do these thoughts make clear the meaning of creation? Do these words bring perfect clarity with them to you? What can they seem to be but empty sounds, pretty perhaps, correct in sentiment, yet fundamentally not understood nor understandable? The mind that taught itself to think specifically can no longer grasp abstraction in the sense that it is all-encompassing. We need to see a little that we learn a lot.
That's just a brilliant paragraph. All right, we're running down to our last few minutes, so I did want to get you to... make sure you see in paragraph 7, sentence 1. We just learned about specifics, right? The ego's machinations and ways to understand and maneuver around the world is specifics. Not generalities, not abstractions, specifics. Fine, I get it. That's how I've lived. Hate is specific. You notice that? Hate is specific and love is not. Did you ever notice that? Wow, I mean, real love is like, oh, Jacqueline, anything you do is right. And everything we do together is going to be even better when we're done. That's just a statement of love. It says, you know, everything is going to work because that's what we want. And both of us want this. I want this. And when you set the goal ahead of time, it always comes true. And that's love, because love is appealing to the creative power of the Holy Spirit, and hate is appealing to the creative power of the unholy spirit. That's why it must be specific. So hate grabs hold of something. The problem you have with your brother, Luann, is going to be specifics. It's going to be right down to he says this, he does that, he doesn't do this, he should do this. I don't know why he doesn't, but he doesn't. You know, it's going to come down to a few things that aren't right. And just recognize that love does not work that way. And that may be enough for you to call on love. That may, just that one simple fact, that two-sided coin of hate versus love, may be enough for you to see through what your ego's doing there. I hope so, because we're out of time. But this lesson will actually give you a way to turn around the argument with the person inside you. When you read this lesson, he will ask you to take that person that's giving you the troubles from, and it will ask, it'll help you to see that there is a glimmer of light somewhere in there that is the Son of God also. Put aside all the differences you have, put aside the troubles you have, put aside all the changes he needs to make to be a decent human being for a second, and just see the light that's there. See the same light that's there that's seeking for the same happiness you are. We all share that. Find that light. And then you will say, okay, this is a being. This is another extension of love. Once you get there, then you say, excuse me, holy brother, now I see your holiness, even for an instant. Give me your blessing, please. Just ask inside your head. You don't go up to the person and say this, right? This is an inside job. You got to try this. It's so powerful. It's crazy the way this worked in my life in the early days. I'll have to tell you some stories when we have more time. Oh, my God. It works. It's transformative. Immediately for me, And then I see it seem to start working on the person, even though I have no idea what I'm doing each time I would drive by. It's transformative. And all it is applying light to darkness. That's all it is. It's really, really simple. But you have to mean it with no reservations. And this one is so practical. Even if you're faking it, you're bound to feel some love shine through. And it can just lead you to do it more and more. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
Thank you for showing up.
Yeah, okay, you're welcome. Thanks for holding the meeting, Luann.
Yes. Thank you, Luann.
Yeah, thank you, Luann. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, you're everybody. So welcome.
Actually, it was my privilege.
Yeah, wonderful. I knew you would do okay. Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
But it was my privilege.
And if I have to be evacuated, you know, I'll bring this laptop and I'll wherever I am, I should be able to plug in and keep seeing you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And it may be the same shirt over and over, but you'll be used to that. Good night, everybody. Be safe.
Good night.
Thanks again, Luann.